This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Welcome back to the Research Talks from Stockbox with Alan Green. Alan, how are you doing on this sort of quiet but very sunny week, certainly for me anyway?
Well, I'm glad it is for you, Mark, because I'm sitting here in Seaford on the south coast, and we've had torrential rain overnight, and the forecast, I think, you know, you get these little weather apps and you look at the weather app, and it's pretty well 99% rain all day. And I think it's going to carry on for the next week if the app is to be believed. And I have to say, it's fairly accurate. So, yeah.
Well, the big question is, did you get your typical British barbecue in with your tea towel over your head before the rain?
I did.
Well,
we've got several barbecues, in fact, but I didn't have a tea towel over my head. I just had. In fact, I did put a picture up on Twitter. I was just. I was there with a bottle of ice cold Bud and enjoying the evening sun or the late afternoon sun and just doing a couple of burgers. And of course, I have a lot of toing and froing with family and friends about this, but I do enjoy a good old charcoal barbecue. You know, you can keep your gas barbecues. I had a gas barbecue when we lived in France a few years ago, but the charcoal barbecue does it for me, and it's a good kettle barbecue too, so you can really get the heat and the flavour. And it's fantastic. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Oh, well, it'll have to go away for another week, but hopefully it's only for a week.
It's undercover at the moment. Yeah. It's undercover, yeah, and it's itching to get back out again. But what can you do?
What can you do? You can't do anything about the weather. Like the stock market, you can't do anything about the stock market either, unfortunately. But today, hopefully, you're going to tell us a little bit about a couple of companies that maybe are worth accumulating in this summer lull that always comes around prior to the autumn pickup again. And today we're going to be talking about Kavango Resources and Altona Rare Earths. And I believe you want to kick us off with Kavango.
Yeah, I'd like to start with Kavango. Mark, we have, of course, spoken about Kavango before. It's had a really, really good run this year. And yet I still sense we are right at the foot of the cliff face in terms of the potential for this company. So shares currently trading at 5.6p. They've traded on a year high of 6.4p and a year low of just over a penny. So anyone who owned this stock a year or so ago has had an extremely good run. You know, it's already a five bagger and shows signs of being many times more of that going forward. Got a market cap of currently 20 million and with good reason. Just a bit about the board. We've got Mike Moles, who's on the board. He's one of the co-founders, along with Hilary Gumbo, co-founder, who has just been appointed to the board as an non-exec. And, of course, the CEO, Michael Foster. He's a veteran CEO, formerly of De Beers, Reunion Mining, Zincox, and Copperbelt. You know, very highly regarded in his field as a mining engineer and a mining exploration geologist. So he's a very the board together are an extremely competent bunch, and of course most recently we've seen a gentleman that I've known for some time, Ben Turney, arrive on the board as well. And Ben Turney brings with him a great deal of experience and knowledge, and his excitement about what Kavango have in their asset portfolio is palpable. And I will be speaking with Ben at some time in the next few days to find out more. So there are principally three projects that Kavango are engaged in, and probably fair to say that the flagship project for the group, although it's quite, you know, I think with the emergence of the Kalahari Copperbelt assets, that they may be sort of running neck and neck, but I still think overall in terms of its size, the Kalahari Suture Zone project. Now I should say, of course, Kavango is based in Botswana. All of these projects are Botswana based, so the company has an extremely detailed knowledge and experience of working with the government there. So the Kalahari Suture Zone is a vast area of combined prospecting licenses covering getting off 8,500 square kilometres, and it's prospective for nickel, copper, and other metals as well. So when Kamagis first started modelling the asset, a lot of aeromagnetic surveys were undertaken, and a lot of modelling was done by a company called Myra Geoscience that undertook 3D modelling. And Kavanga have been excellent in articulating that to the market and to their shareholders. They have, of course, the images on the site where you can go and look at what the KSZ is all about. And throughout the evolution of the asset, and as they've discovered more about the model, it has a striking similarity to the Norilsk mine in Siberia. And the Norilsk mine is a vast network of mining infrastructure that provides 90% of Russia's nickel, 55% of its copper, and pretty well all of its rare, all of its platinum group metals. It's also a major contributor on the world scene as well. 10% of the world's cobalt, 60% of the world's palladium, and 20% of the world's platinum. So it's just vast, this place. It really is. And as the team have undertaken this research, this huge Leviathan underground has started to emerge. And of course, it's culminated this year in exploration, soil geochemistry, and aeromags. And of course, the most exciting news, of course, is that drilling at the KSZ has started this month. And indeed, Ben Turney, I mentioned just now, Ben has attended several virtual events and has presented the investment case for Kavanga, both with the KSZ and the KCP assets. And as the year has progressed, we've seen a number of geological anomalies confirmed by aeromagnetic surveys, where of course they fly an aircraft or a helicopter over with survey equipment that detects conductivity underground, which can then be mapped. And this has throughout the evolution and the acquisition of this data, it has mimicked the Norilsk mine development. Most recently, the company said this was on June the 15th, a few days ago, that the electromagnetic anomaly had discovered another target. So we have target C1, and this of course is in the Kalahari, it's 11 kilometers northeast of target A2. Target A2 is a kilometer long and some between 250 and 700 meters below the surface, and target C1, which they discussed on June the 15th, is 1.2 by 1.6 kilometers wide and some 530 meters in depth. And these are, of course, effectively puddles of metal metals that are formed through the cooling of the earth, and as the elements are squeezed up through the earth's crust, they form these puddles. And Norilsk, when the discovery of the mine was first made many, many years ago, these puddles or these blocks were typical and characteristic of the assets of the huge metal assets found underground. And what we're seeing as the KSZ asset emerges is an almost identical repetition of that. And of course, this is very exciting. So we have the data. The deposits. In fact, Michael Foster said on June the 15th that the deposits at the KSZ are clustered in the same geological corridor of this of the Karoo Gabbro, supporting the Norilsk model completely. And of course, as we know, the drilling is now taking place, and we are due some news on that imminently. So a very exciting time. And of course, this is just the first of what could be a series of deposits over a vast area. So I think some have theorized that it could be even bigger than the Rosas asset. But nonetheless, I think the company is at an incredibly exciting juncture, and we will hear more about the KSA going forward. Mm. So I then come on to the copper assets, mm-hmm. and there are two elements to the copper assets here. So this is the Kalahari Copper Belt in Western Botswana, and Kavango has several operations in the area. Firstly, it has an agreement with LVR Geo Explorers, and at the start of June, the company updated that it had identified targets 082 and 083 on the KCB. The target 082 is a 3.5 wide zone with a large electromagnetic conductor underground, supporting the copper and silver that has been identified through sampling and other work. The target 083 is a 10-kilometer strip, further geochem work and trenching at the asset is planned for this year. And of course, that's a joint venture with LVR Geo Explorers. Also not too far away is the joint venture that the group has with Power Metal Resources, which of course is the Kanyi Resources company. So the assets have been spun off into a joint venture company with Power Metal that will IPO at some point. So we're expecting that to come to the London market. And this is a series of copper assets identified. And again, this is there are seven targets that were the company announced on May the 14th have been identified. Aeromagnetic targets identified from the work that was undertaken, importantly, Michael Foster said that the aeromagnetic service correlated the soil geochemistry with the geological mapping that had been undertaken. You've got seven targets, as I say. Acacia, that's four kilometers by 4 kilometers. Marula, that's 2 kilometers by 12 kilometers. Baobab, that's 2 by 3.5 kilometers. Elephant, that's 2.5 by 6 kilometers. And those are the priority targets. So five priority targets of the seven there. Four priority targets of the seven. Michael Foster said that he was confident that Kavango was looking at numerous mineralized systems, quote unquote. So that's a very exciting development. And of course, we will see further news on that as we go through the year. So also within the Kanyi Resources joint venture is the Ditao Camp project, which is sited in southern Botswana, and this covers a 7 by 5 square kilometer area. And in this area, massive sulfide and base metal deposits, including iron and copper, have been identified, along with some 10 magnetic ring structures that are prospective for carbonatites. And these carbonatites often include rare earths like neodymium and praseodymium. The asset was drilled some 50 years ago by Falcon Bridge Mining. And at that point, they sampled high grades of some rare earth elements. And in September last year, Michael Foster said that there was mounting evidence from the work that had been done that Ditao is at the center of a previously unrecognized alkali magnetic complex. So that is also part of the Kanyi Resources joint venture with the group. Mm-hmm. So essentially, Ditao is obviously there in the background. There have been no major developments on that so far this year, but all eyes at the moment are on the next developments, obviously the drilling work for the KSZ. So the drilling in the middle of the desert, and one hopes that they'll go down to the expected depth and they'll get confirmation of, or the cores will confirm what the work to date has indicated, that there is a major metal deposit there, in which case the sky is literally the limit. I mean, it's extremely exciting. But also we have these the two copper assets on the KCB with LVRGO and, of course, the Canyon Resources asset, where work is expected to progress this year, and we'll have more we'll have more value add from that that area too. So, yeah, a very exciting year in prospect for Kabanga.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I do like the company. I like the fact that the drill, one of the drill contractors, has agreed to take part cash, part shares as well.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed. The drug contractor has taken sort of part cash, part shares, which is always a good sign, because obviously they will, these guys, you know, work on the ground. They know the area. Mm. They study the data. And there's also the joint venture with Spectral Geophysics too, which of course are providing all of the aerial work, all of the aerial survey work, and the interpretation from that. Mm-hmm. They too have agreed to are taking shares in payment and have a joint venture as such with Kabanga going forward. And that's, you know, when you get the guys at the coal face, as it were, metaphorically and physically, literally, the guys at the coal face get involved and say, no, I'm quite happy to waive my cash fees. You know, I want shares in this because, you know, I'm really excited about what's there. Then, you know, you're onto a good thing.
You do. And I like the comparison with Norilsk as well. That's a very good comparison. I also like what I'm seeing from Ben at the moment. He's doing a lot of presentations, coming across very well. And also, of course, Mike Moles, very good at articulating the geology there, and he's also always very enthusiastic whenever I interview him. I think, yeah, they've got two very exciting prospects there, with the KCB and the KSZ, and they're both at a very exciting juncture, aren't they? I mean, we're right there at the, you know, the sort of discovery moment, perhaps.
Well, we are, and of course, you know, it's always the when the drill goes into the ground, and of course, you know, sometimes. Sometimes that, you know, the drill can miss it by, you know, meters or half a meter, or it can go plumb straight into the metal that's down there. Of course, we don't know, but everything's indicated. The indications to date, and also, I think what makes mining so exciting at the moment is that all of these companies now have access to the latest cutting edge technology in mining, including data analysis. So all the historic desktop analysis that's been undertaken can then be reassessed by new programming methods and analyzed. And often you can look at a geological feature that maybe has been identified previously, and from that spot the potential for an extension or an enlargement of that facility that hitherto was unrecognized. So so all of these factors come into play, but certainly the KSZ I think is absolutely it's at that point now where we get some drilling news and we get any indication from the core samples that come up that the asset is there as expected, then sky's the limit, literally.
Yeah, good. Okay, we're moving on. We've got to talk about Altona then, Altona Rare Earths.
Altona Rare Earths. So this is an Aquis listed company, which is this is of course a former a coal company, which sold off its assets last year, and it is listed on the Aquis exchange, a very good exchange. Shares currently trading at about 9p, giving it a market cap of just 1.7 million. So it's you know, laughably low, really, considering what the group is has controlled and has under control in regard to its assets. So the company in January this year announced a loss before tax of 228,000, resulting from historic coal asset impairments, and it also raised $500,000 there before expenses at around 12p. Raised another 260,000 in March, and the cash that's raised has been used to buy into quality rare earth assets. So it's restated its position as a developer of rare earth asset Obviously, with a view to supplying the burgeoning battery market, and of course the burgeoning EV market. All of these assets have an application. All of these rare earth metals have an application at some level within the new technology, and also some of the new clean energy technologies that we're seeing around today. So there are three primary assets that the company is engaged with. Firstly, just a brief rundown of the board. Christian Taylor Wilkinson is the CEO. He has a background in IR, but has worked extensively with mining companies. Martin Wood is the chairman and non-executive director, also CEO of ASX-listed Koji Iron. And then on the ground there in Africa, where again the company is based, we have non-executive director Audrey Matupi. She's CEO of System Logic, knows the African market very well indeed, sits on many boards there. The final non-exec is Cedric Simone, who's also the head geologist, worked for Segera and Fluspar, and is on the board of the Kenyan Mining Committee. So firstly, we come to the Monte Muambi Rare Earth Project, which is in the Tete province in northwest Mozambique. Now, I mentioned Cedric Simone's connection with Segera and Fluspar. This is a former Fluspar mine, which has had 165 reverse circulation drill holes over a 12-kilometre area. It's intersected rare earth elements previously at least four areas, and so far only 5% of the surface has been examined. There is an estimated 9 meters with some 2.5% total rare earth oxides, and over a 96 meter area from the work that's been undertaken there are just over 2% total rare earth oxides, and all of these are on the surface significantly. Now, Cedric Simone has worked with many projects, and he is very confident that there is a huge potential within the Monte Muambi Rare Earths Project. And indeed, the group are currently undertaking analysis of the historic soil samples from Monte Muambi ahead of making a final decision whether or not to complete the investment. There's a 90-day due diligence period which the company can, once completed, the company can move to complete the investment. The second one is the Nankoma Rare Earths Project, which is in some 130 kilometres east of Kampala in eastern Uganda. Uganda, of course, is a very benign regime for mining, very supportive of the mining industry. There is an option to acquire 70% of this the Nankoma Rare Earths Project from Liwe Group, and this is a huge area. It covers some 67.5 square kilometres. This will be staged in by various investments and also the provision of shares to Liwe Group in regard to that. Why is this one attractive? Because nearby there's the Makutu project, which is owned and operated by ASX-listed Ionic Rare Earths. Ionic has established a mineral resource estimate of some 350 million tonnes at 650 parts per million of total rare earth oxides. And these include neodymium and praseodymium and rare earths that have applications in military, green technology, and of course the battery industry too. So again, that's highly prospective. Currently, the soil samples from Nankoma have been collected and sent to Australia for assay work under the guidance of a metallurgist employed by ANR, Alterna Rare Earths, called Gavin Beer. And again, subject to the grades that come back from Nankoma, we will have a final decision on the investment. So the third investment, which has been in the pipeline since the middle of last year is the Chambre Rail project in southern Malawi. And again, this the project is prospective for heavy and light rare earths. And there is a memorandum of understanding with Akatsiri to acquire 75% of this asset. But they are waiting currently for the Malawian government to approve the exploration license ahead of signing that agreement. And of course, you know, that's clearly very important. There's no point in going ahead without that agreement in place. Mm-hmm. In order to ensure that the legal frameworks are established on the ground within each jurisdiction, the Alterna have hired local law firms in all three of these areas that they're working in, and the company expects to own all three of these assets, subject to completion of the terms that I've outlined just now, by the end of this quarter. So that's literally a few weeks away. So we could be on the verge in the next few weeks of a sea change and a re-rating for the company as it stands, particularly, as I said, with a 1.7 million market cap. Also interesting to note, over the past few months, private investors Paul and Catherine McKillen have increased their shareholding in the company. They now own 6.75%, up from 4.7% previously. But most significantly, Resources Investor Mayflower Group, that has offices in Perth, London and Johannesburg, has had a shareholding of 14%, increased its shareholding to 29.5%. So that's just short of triggering an outright bid. And that was at the end of May. A few days ago, the board outlined a new portfolio development initiative to generate further targets or rare earth targets, quality rare earth targets in Mozambique, Angola, Tanzania, and Uganda. You know, Christian Taylor Wilkinson said with this latest initiative, they stand out in the sector by being undertaking a professional and exacting approach to the opportunities that they can look at, and it makes a huge difference to the quality. And that's probably why we are seeing these delays in the MOUs coming to fruition, simply because the due diligence the group are undertaking is far more exhaustive than other companies might undertake. So I think it's going to be a very big couple of weeks coming up for the group. I expect an awful lot to happen in the next little while. And obviously, once the company moves from Aquis to the London main market, I think we're going to see a lot more investors being able to access the shares, trading online. And of course, there will be, given the share price currently reflects just a 1.7 million market cap, I think the only way from here is up.
Oh, good. Well, you heard it here first. I wonder, Alan, rare earth, maybe the slightly misunderstood beast. Is there anything we can compare to any other listed companies out there in the rare earth space?
There are, but as you know, Mark, we also work with a company called Cadence Minerals that it has a 30% joint venture with a company called Hastings Technology Metals, which are based down at their ASX-listed company. Hastings Technology Metals owns the Yangibana Rare Earths Project, which is in Western Australia, and there are a series of the Yangibana area is a huge area, and they're just as the company's undertaken over the past few years, it's undertaken exploration work and soil sampling and further surveys. It's confirmed and exceeded in most cases the previous value of the value of the asset that had been there previously. Now, Hastings Technology Metals has a market cap currently of 252 Australian dollars, so that's about 160 million in UK money. So clearly, well ahead of where Alterna are. They have takeoff agreements there with a number of major global groups, so takeoff groups are in place, and of course the permits have all been received, so they are a lot further down the road. But in terms of value, I think Hastings is probably quite a good comparison. Obviously, they're in Australia and Alterna are based in Africa, but the metrics are pretty similar. It's going through the process of establishing the asset and then developing, undertaking the feasibility study, and then moving forward. Hastings has done all of that, and of course I mentioned, of course, nearby the Nankoma Rare Earths Project in Uganda. You've got the Makutu Project owned by Ionic Rare Earths, also ASX listed. That Ionic has a market cap of 92 million Aussie dollars currently, so that's about 50 million sterling. And Ionic has established a mineral resource estimate of 315 million tons of total rare earth oxides at Makutu. So again, you can get some idea of the comparative valuations once the company takes those steps forward. So clearly well ahead of where Alterna is. I think I think we could probably guesstimate that if once Alterna gets its moves from Aquis to main market, once it completes on the first three memorandums of understanding, then I think we're going to see real value arrive for investors and shareholders, and we'll see a significant movement north of where we are now.
Mm. Well, yeah, and given its market cap, it's almost a no-brainer, isn't it? I think at this
point. It is. That's it. I mean, 1.7 million. I mean, that's just.
Sounds like a nominal value, isn't it? Really.
it just values the company, yeah, and the listing and nothing else. I mean, there's no premium ascribed there at all for the value of these assets. But of course, once these assets are confirmed and the due diligence, the extensive due diligence process the company goes through is completed, then I think we're going to see a significant re-rating for the group.
I know. I agree. And as I said at the start, I think these are the months where you can accumulate without too much stress, ready for the season again, if you like, when we go into autumn and the volume comes back to the market.
Very much so.
Okay, well, Alan Green, thank you very much there, and we'll catch up again in a week's time.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching @StockboxMedia.